Evening, saints. Let's stand and turn to Psalms 109 as we start the service. I don't have any announcements, so. Psalms 109, starting in verse 27. Psalms 109, starting in verse 27 through the end of the chapter. That they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it.
Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice.
And let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle.
I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude.
For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Amen. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his love. Blessed Lord, you just can't tell enough people, if you could get somebody to stop and listen, that I'm going to the best place in the world, a vacation place that you've never even dreamed of. Just come along with me. And so many are turning it down as the brothers come forward. Sister Violet, please pray for Victoria. She burned her arm really bad at work. She's in a lot of pain. And remember all our brothers and sisters that weren't able to make it tonight, and you did, but you need something to take home with you.
Amen.
You know, something to pack in your lunch pail for Thursday and Friday, so to speak. So you just ask the Lord, let's remember this, and you just ask the Lord about that as Brother John leads us in prayer.
Heavenly precious Father, Lord, we thank you for the time that you've given us together here tonight to make you a follower and speak to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, for the courage.
Amen, amen. And Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. If you want salvation, tell him what you want. If you want salvation, tell him what you want. If you want salvation, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. If you want the Holy Ghost, just tell him.
Praise him, praise him, praise him. goes down. Oh, we praise you and love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, I love you. Oh, we thank you, Father. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Care of me today. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, I love you, adore you. I bow down. Heavenly Father, I appreciate. Sing that part again. Oh, yes, Jesus.
Well, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate.
Raise your hands. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, how we love you and adore you, dear Father. Blessed be your name.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I sure appreciate him also. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn with me to Psalm 18. It's good to have each one in the house of the Lord. You might have noticed a little group sneaking in the back over there, but a couple of my students here tonight, Nevaeh, Tyler, Abel, and Kelton. It's good to have you with us. Amen. Hope you're happy to be here a little bit. No, just we'll see, right? Let's see. Appreciate Kelton, you know, making the idea. I think he's the ringleader, I would hope, right?
Yeah,
it's all right, but God bless you all, and again, everyone, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Just a simple thought for us. I was just me standing here for a second as we read this, but I did find it interesting. I went on a little walk yesterday. God bless Sister Mary. It's good to see you, too. Look at that. God bless you. I go around my neighborhood every once in a while just to pray and kind of clear my mind and things, and while I was doing that, one of my students messaged me a scripture, Psalm 18. And I started reading it, and I'm like, man, that goes a lot with the text I was trying to find, you know, and I just trust the Lord knows those little things like that. So sure. Psalm chapter 18, let's just read the first six verses. But I will challenge you later. You can go read the 50, but you can read the rest of the chapter on your own time. But first six verses. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. my buckler and the horn of my salvation in my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. I'd like to preach tonight with the help of the Lord on finding real strength. Finding real strength. Can we bow our heads together? As you bow your head before the Lord, if there's a desire in your heart, say, Lord, I just want to lift this up to you. You're welcome to raise a hand to him tonight. Hold your desire right there before him. And just the way you pray, let's pray together and invite the Lord into the service. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us into your house once again. That precious promise that you gave us, Lord, that you said wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We've come to this house tonight, Lord, to speak on your word. But, Father, how meaningless it would be if you didn't come and bring the real context, Lord. Bring the anointing that would take these words off this page, Lord, and sink it into our hearts and make us what we ought to be tonight. Father, forgive us for our many sins and iniquities, our failures, the ways we've fallen short. Lord, we come and we ask for you to wash us clean by your precious blood. Keep us, Lord, in your precious grace tonight. And all the needs that's just been lifted up to you, I pray in your own provision way, Lord, that you'll come and meet each one of us. Show that you hear the smallest prayer, Lord, that you care about the smallest things. We appreciate it so much, Father. Speak to us from heaven as we open up our hearts to receive what you have for us tonight. So commit this service now into your faithful hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now, if I asked you to look for strength, you know, and there's all kinds of context for that, but we could think of just being strong, maybe naturally, big old muscly fella or something like that, and I could pick up more than you or whatever. Or I'm strong, you know. You might somebody that's mentally strong, is real quick witted, you know, and doesn't have to struggle so much maybe to learn something, or somebody that's strong in their heart, you know, they don't. Things will come by their way and they can just carry the load of all those things. But I want to talk about a different kind of strength tonight, because I think so many times Christians, we try to serve the Lord and we're looking for strength. We want to be strong for God. Anybody want to be strong for the Lord? I know I do. And the Bible commands us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But we need to take that into our hearts, that we're not called to be strong in ourselves. And I think too many times, and maybe it's just Brother Andrew as well, but we go through these things in life, and the longer we walk with the Lord, the longer we think, well, God, you know, you helped me out here, but I'll go ahead and take it from this moment on. We begin to start failing. We begin, as you get closer to the Lord, He begins to show you actually more of your own failures. And that's not because God wants you to fail. It's God is trying to help you grow and prosper. Amen. So if I shined a little bitty flashlight here tonight, you all might be able to see and get around a little bit, but aren't you glad we've actually got lights up here that light the whole thing up? Well, guess what? The more lights you got, the more dust you're going to see, the more dirtiness you're going to see. If it was real dark in here, we could hide a lot of things, say a lot of things aren't that way. Well, guess what? As long as you stay in the shadows of this world, you're right. You're probably going to feel pretty good about yourself. But if you come to the light of the gospel, it'll begin to show you the truth. And you'll begin to realize, Lord, I need some help. I've got things in here I don't want. Is anybody got things in your heart? You say, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want to act this way. I don't want to think like this. I don't want to respond this way. Well, brother, stop. And maybe if I just go right to it, stop trying to fix yourself. You can't do it. I can't do it. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. So before we even get started, the only way to be born again is to die back here. So the old you's got to die. And you've got to stop depending on Him and pretending like you're going to self-will yourself into doing the right thing. You'll never get there. Amen. Amen. And I tell you what, many Christians getting that rigmarole, going around and around in circles, trying to fix themselves. And you want to know why? It's because you're actually weak when you do that. When you try to act big and burly even on God, say, God, I got this one. That's okay. You go ahead and you go take a vacation, Lord, and I'll overcome this lust today. No, you won't. I'll overcome this bitterness I've had in my heart for 10 years. I got it, Lord. You know, don't worry about it. Brother, sister, it's not, oh God, my strength. No, it's, Lord, you are my strength. That's what the psalm says here. And again, you can keep reading. I love the rest. I wish I could find that spot. I'm just going to say it to you. But the Bible says that the way of the Lord is perfect. And then you read a little bit longer in that psalm, and it says, God makes my way perfect. How does he make my way perfect? By getting my actual way out of the way and making my way his way. Because his way is perfect. What I love about God is he's pretty smart. When you think about that, he kind of knows everything. You start to trust him a little bit more. You start to say, you know what, maybe I don't completely understand this. Maybe I don't even understand exactly what the Bible's saying, but I know that those words are right because God gave it to me. It's his word. I'll tell you what, it'll do you a whole lot of good to actually believe that this Bible is God's word. Amen. Then when you begin to read it, it's not just, well, I'll think about that or maybe I'll ponder. No, God said that, and I can put my life on it. That he is the Lord my strength. I'm going to love him with all my heart. He will be there when the snares of death come against me, when all my enemies try to take me out. The God, my strength will come to lift me up. When I think of strength in the Bible, we think of a man, if you're any Bible student at all, I usually think of Samson. But you know what made Samson strong? You know, I believe this too. Brother Branham said the same thing. I don't believe Samson was a big burly man. I don't even think he's as big as I am. I believe he was a little bitty shrimp fella. I believe he was a little bit, 5'3". Remember, he had girly, curly hair hanging down with his Nazarite vow. And he walked out there. How else do you think? The Bible says that he took a jawbone one day, picked it up because he had no weapons. He took a jawbone and by the Spirit of the Lord killed 1,000 men. Think of 1,000 men. The students are here right now. That's our whole school. Everybody, teachers and students together, coming against one guy, and he wipes them all out. With the jawbone. You think after the 100th guy got killed, 101 fella, be like, you know what, maybe not. And then you get to 500, be like, no. I'm going to tell you the reason they kept attacking is because he looked so pathetic. He looked so weak. But what did Samson have that none of those Philistines did is he actually had the God of heaven that gave him a commission that says, you will begin to deliver us from the Philistines. And that man, look, here's what I love about Samson. Look, he had his faults. How many know Samson was a womanizer, ran around with this woman and that one, and Jezebel eventually got him, and he had to repent at the end of his days. But do you know that Samson comes up in Hebrews chapter 11? It does. For a man of great faith, because why? Samson never looked at himself. He always looked at God's promise. Amen. So even if he had failed, he wasn't trusting in that. He was trusting in God's promise that God gave me this covenant. I've got the strength to overcome. Not because I'm going to do anything, but because God said I could do it. And next, he went out there and the Bible says, I'm going to roll up my sleeves now. I'm going to get ready to fight a little bit. But Samson said, heaps upon heaps. Yeah, look around and see 1,000 bodies laying around dead. Heaps upon heaps. By a jawbone, I've slain 1,000 men. Another man we think of as strength is David. How many remembers the story of David and Goliath? Yeah, most people, Bible readers, know this, but that David didn't go down there in that valley when that big old giant there, 10 feet tall, sitting there with his big old weaver's beam spear, 14 feet long, and hands as big as probably my arm here. He didn't go down there thinking, you know what, Brother Justin, I'm a pretty good shot with a sling. I got this. He went down there because he said, is there not a cause? Did not the God of Abraham promise us, Amen. Children of Israel, that we would possess the gates of our enemy? Right. What made David strong is he knew how weak he was, but he knew how strong his God was. Amen. So when he walked down there, remember, even Saul tried to reason with him. Saul was a bigger fellow, probably a little bit bigger than I am. But he said, the Bible says he was head and shoulders above the rest of the Israelites. But I'm sure, I've heard this preached this time. Remember, Saul took his armor and tried to put it on David. Okay, y'all take my armor, take my clothes, and try to put it on my son Dawson. What's he going to look like? He's going to look like a moron, right? That don't fit. It ain't. And that's what David said. He said, I haven't tried none of this. Just take it from me. And I've heard a minister say this. I bet the rumor got spread. Look at that. Even Saul's armor doesn't fit this fellow that's about to come down there. And they had the story backwards. They thought he was too big for it. Now Israel's got their giant to go fight the Goliath giant. No, they didn't. And I could see David coming down. Remember, the Bible says they were down there in the valley. I can see him coming down. He's a big old shadow, as the sun is coming. And everybody's like, oh, man, get ready for this. And then y'all see what I'm saying. Do, 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 do. And by the time he gets there, why do you think Goliath looked at that and just laughed? He said, are you serious? You bunch of cowards? You sent a boy. Remember, he was only probably 16, 17 years old. Probably still smooth-faced.
coming down there and says, "What you said? You said that whole army out there." And remember, he didn't just go out there one day. This is day number 40 that he went out there asking for a challenge. And this is who shows up. I'm talking about finding real strength tonight. And that little five little boy, 17-year-old, that only had five smooth stones but only needed one of them, looked at that giant right in the eyes and says, "I ain't a bit afraid of you. I've got more with me than it was with you." It says, "Because you come to me with the sword and the spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, the armies of whom you have defied." And he says, "And today I'll cut your head off." I love that story too, because he went down there with stones. How is he going to cut a head off with stones? That shows you that it wasn't David. It was the inspiration of God was on him then that he even said that. And that man took that faith. Goliath said the same thing. He said, "I'm going to poke you with this spear. I'm going to feed you up to the birds." There you go. There's the challenge. Let's find out who's got real strength. The man with real big, burly muscles and got a whole lot of confidence in himself, or a man who knows he's nothing. That's right. And puts all of his confidence in God. Yep. And that man took that stone, chucked it at that giant. The Bible says it sunk into his head. And I know about, we've had to go to Sunday school debate about this too, but the Bible says he fell forward onto his face. The word still wasn't fulfilled yet though, was it? Because David said, "I'm going to cut your head off." I'm talking about finding real strength tonight. I know this might be simple, but I pray to do something in our lives. That giant got knocked out right there. I believe sunk in there and he fell down on his feet, on his face. David looked around and says, "Well, I ain't got no strength of my own. Hey, you know what? The enemy's got a sword. I'll just go ahead and use that." And the Bible says he went over there, took Goliath's sword off him, and cut his head off with his own sword. Brother, sister, and I've preached this before, many times you will look at your life, you will see a trial that you hate about, a thing you hate about yourself. But I'm telling you, the victory you have when you finally overcome that is the very sword that'll teach you that you are a believer. That you are an overcomer. That you do have the strength. Not in your own, but it was placed in you by God. And what I love about that story too is everybody looks at David and says, "Oh man, I wish I could be David." You know what? The second that Goliath fell and died, that whole Israelites, that faith spread into them. And they all said, "You know what? We're coming too." And they took out the whole army. Years later, you'll find out that Goliath had four other giants there with him. And David didn't kill a one of them. It was his servants that began to kill him. Why? It's not about the pastor having the faith. It's not about the deacon having the faith. It's about sons and daughters of God realizing that you have the strength in you to overcome. And God only needs one David to show that it's true. And you just need to get behind it and amen it. And watch that it'll live in your life just the same as it does the pastor. Now here's the problem. We got pastors that tell you it ain't possible no more. Don't believe in miracles no more. Don't even pray for the sick. Don't believe in the Holy Ghost. What kind of gospel are we preaching then? If you can get talked into us, you're going to get talked out of it. But if you meet God face to face, it don't matter how many devils come, you'll never get talked out of it. Now, the Bible does give us heroes of faith. Let's just go there. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just going to go ahead and preach. Sometimes you got notes and that's what the Lord wants you to do. And sometimes he just says, "Come on, let's just go over here and do this." Hebrews chapter 11. If you're a Bible reader, you understand Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith hall of fame, if you'd like to call it, but where Paul goes through and lays out all these examples of heroes of faith. I mean, starting all the way back at Abel, all the way through, you know, Abraham and things, to Joshua, through Moses and everything. And he picks up here, let's go to verse 32. Actually where Samson shows up. That's right. Hebrews 11:32 says, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith," through what? Faith. Everything I'm about to list is because these men and women chose to believe God. Amen. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises." Isn't that a lot better than just having empty ones? God don't give us empty promises. He wants us to obtain them. Obtained promises. "Stop the mouths of lions. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword." Listen now. "Out of weakness were made strong." What does faith do is it takes us into a state of weakness for God to take that and to make us strong. Wax valiant in flight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead, raised to life again. And others were tortured. We're talking about real strength tonight. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, more of a bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Does that sound like strength to you? Look, strength on the outside isn't what we're talking about in Christianity. It's all those things were on them, and yet they still prevailed. They still overcame. I'm talking about real strength. These burly, and even men, be careful. I don't want to say this. I know the culture is even trying to make all men feminine too, and that's the devil too. Men are meant to be men. Women are to be women. Men are to be strong and guide the home in these different things. But God did not call men to be a bunch of macho morons that don't know how to hold real burdens. A real man doesn't throw his fist all the time. A real man knows that somebody throws an insult, and you know what? Go pray for that fella instead of punch him in the face. That's a real man. A real man knows how to take his kids and not just beat the living daylights out of them all the time because they don't like what they're doing, but to take them. And yes, you're going to give correction. I'm going to read that again here in the Bible. God does the same for us. But the whole point is to take them children and build them from where they are to where they need to be. Amen. That takes a real man. Sure. That takes real strength. It takes real strength to find patience when you ain't got none. Yep. I'm not the only father in this room. Don't look at me like that. Sometimes we find patience in prayer because we ain't got none. And if you think anybody's holier than thou, that's the whole point. We all weak on our own. I'm not telling you you're going to be perfect. I hope you're getting it. That I'm saying the exact opposite tonight. That without the Lord, you are going to do these failures. You're going to. Maybe. No. This is the way you're going to go. But if the Lord can just take control and give you some real strength, you'll find you can overcome anything. If they could overcome this list that I just gave you here, then you can do the same. Let me finish that real quick. Because it says about that whole list that we just listed, it said, of whom the world was not worthy. That's what God thought of this group. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I'm going to get to that here in a second. But I like to read, there's a sermon here, Have Faith in God 58. And I know this is a little bit dated. This is back when a loaf of bread would have cost you a quarter. Now we'd have to say $10 or whatever it is now. Thanks, Biden. Praise the Lord. I'm done with politics. Rest service. That was it. That was one. But let me just read this to you here to listen close. He says, now, with this 25 cents, I might have to walk several miles to get to a loaf of bread. But all the time when I'm walking, I'm getting weaker and weaker, but rejoicing all the time. Because I know as soon as I arrive at that place, I'm going to have the bread. I may have to go over the hill and down through the thicket, across the river and over the stumps. I may get so hungry before I get there till I've even got cramps in my stomach. But I'm rejoicing all the time, just getting worse, weaker, hungrier. I'm rejoicing because I hold in my possession the purchasing power of that bread. And when a man really looks to God with unadulterated faith that God is able to keep what he promised, he can rejoice no matter how sick he gets, how bad he suffers. All the hurting he is or whether he's prayed for or whether he isn't, it's a settled thing with that man when he receives the faith. There's an old proverb that I like to quote once in a while, and that's this. A coward dies 10,000 deaths when a hero never dies. A coward, he's always scared. He's running at every little thing, as we would call it in the hunter's language. He's spooked all the time. He's afraid of every little shadow. That's the way with a man who comes and professes that he has faith and spooked at every little scarecrow the devil can put before him. Oh my, he thinks, I'm not any better. I just don't feel as well as I did yesterday. What difference does it make? if you got real faith in your heart that God's going to keep His word, all the hurts and aches and pains and shadows will not amount to anything. You believe it in your heart, it's yours, and there's nothing can take it away from you. It's yours. It's a gift that God has given you. The blessed assurance that what you ask for, He is able to perform. Because He promised it, there's real faith. That's what it takes to overcome. And if you notice, Jesus didn't say, quickly, this mountain will be thrown into the sea. But if you will ask for this mountain to be raised and thrown into the sea and will believe it in your heart that it's been done, it's being done, you shall have what you say. Yeah, oh, my. When you go to the mountain and say, mountain, be cast up and thrown into the sea. Look, say, oh, it never happened. I guess I haven't got faith. When you say, mountain, be raised up and thrown into the sea, and your objective is right and your motive is right, you may not see one bit of difference in that mountain. Maybe just one little grain of sand moved when you said that. But it's being moved. No matter how small it is, it's taking place. This is why Jesus said if you could just have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, be moved, cast the sea, and don't doubt your heart, and it shall come to pass. Because it doesn't matter what your eyes see. You know you believed it. It's settled. That's how divine healing really works. That don't mean God don't do miracles. I've seen miracles. I could list it all day long. Different miracles. I see people just standing here that's had miracles that I can remember just in services. Amen. But the promise isn't that God would just do miracles every little willy-nilly time we ask Him to do it. But He did promise to heal us. And when He promises to heal you, you've got to grab it by faith and stay there and let nothing tell you different. You know why you know that? You can look at all nature. How are you going to get corn? They're putting corn out there soon. How are they going to get that? Think they're going to put that seed down there and then tomorrow dig it up and see if they got corn yet? No, they're going to put it in there. What are you going to do? You're going to leave it in there. Sometimes it just takes time. And then what do you do while it's there? You just going to sit there and look at it? No, you got to pray for the rain to come and shine. You got to pray the sun comes out and gives it light. Guess what, brother, sister? You got to put some rain on your experience too. Don't sit there, oh, I believe God heals me, and then you don't ever praise Him for it. You don't even read the promises in the Bible. You just say, well, I guess, I hope, maybe so. God didn't, faith ain't hope. No. I want you to know that faith ain't hope. Faith ain't magic. Faith is reality. Amen. When you have real, genuine faith, just like Abraham did when he was 75 years old, and God showed up and said, you see that woman you've been married to your whole life? You're going to have a baby by her. Yep. And in 1 year, didn't happen. 2 years, didn't happen. 5 years, didn't happen. 10 years, didn't happen. 20 years, nothing happened. 25 years later, God came down. How many knows the Bible actually said God came down in a body of flesh? People think, Jesus, first time God became flesh. No, He's been flesh a whole bunch of times. Go read your Bible. He came down there and met with Abraham. He says, Abraham, I think it's about time. You've been waiting a long time, son. I'm going to fulfill that word that I brought you. You know what the Bible says? It says that whole time, that whole 25 years where he had no evidence at all. If anything, it got worse. Because at maybe at 75, 65, you know, there's some reasonable doubt that they might actually have a child somehow. Now they're 190. It's done. There ain't no going back. And that's the whole point why it was a miracle. And that's why I believe that's the body change. Because that woman, 90-year-old, we all, you women that's had babies, you know, he's 90 years old, you're going to die. You're not going to be, I have no child. And God came down, visited with him, and one night changed them back to being young again. Amen. And made them have that baby 25 years later. Here's what I love about that. Abraham was so strong. The Bible says he gave God praise the whole time. They come to him after 10 years and says, man, Abram. Remember, he wasn't Abraham yet. Said, you tell us we're supposed to call you Abraham, but you ain't no father or nothing. Hey, it's been 10 years, buddy. Don't you think that promise ought to be getting around here by now? And you know what he did? He didn't do what most of us would have done. He says, well, you know, maybe. See, that's not real strength, is it? People want to see it all the time. That ain't strength at all. Strength is, as I know God told me. I believe he raised his hands in the face of those critics and says, praise God, we're going to have it anyhow. And now it's 10 years more the miracle. Oh, you old fogey doofus. How am I going to listen to that? He's just a bunch of crazy. Brother, if you're not ready for persecution, you're not ready to be a Christian. I'll tell you that. When you have a need of healing, and especially, you know, we're kind of coming out of that season, but you all know how it is. Everybody's got sniffles and coughs and all this stuff going around. But Christian friends, you ain't God just picked that up and says, well, it's just the season. I don't believe that. No, sir. I believe you can take it and hand it right back and say, it's 'tis the season to get out of my life. But you got to be willing to say that. I've been right there, brother. See, I've had that kids come up to me. I don't say that because there's a couple here. I just mean, you guys haven't done this, but I've been cough a couple times. Says, Mr. Crustle, you're getting sick. I said, no, sir, I'm not. I'm getting well. Absolutely. And they said, what are you talking about? It's like, I don't get sick. I just get well. Amen. I don't mean that, no, sickness don't attack you. Don't think I'm preaching you. No, there's no enemy. There's a Goliath there, okay? He's real. Sickness is real. The devil is real. Temptation is real. We are not just walking through life easy street. There is a war going on all the time. Brother, sister, listen to me. Satan has got every power and gun lined up on you. And if he can't take you out physically, he'll try to take you out spiritually. If he can't do that, do it mentally, financially, greed, lust, pride. What? He will find something and try to shoot it at you. You want real strength? Don't you dare try to fight the devil on his grounds. You come over here and say, Lord Jesus, just like my father Abraham believed something he couldn't see, he couldn't feel, he couldn't eat, he had no evidence for, and still received it. Amen. The Bible calls us Christians the sons of Abraham. Why? We've got the same faith our father had. And we believe in the impossible. The Bible says against hope, he believed in hope and called those things that were not as though they were. You do the same thing with your healing and watch your body fall into it. Just looked at my wife. I remember when Wesley was being born, she was going through preterm labor. And I've shared this before, but I believe it'll encourage you tonight. And it was, 8 weeks early, something like that? 32, 31, somewhere around that range. You're supposed to go about 40. So anyhow, a couple months early. And she was having all this labor pains. And I remember it was a Sunday night because we preached and had church and stuff. She'd send her to the hospital. And that was back when you couldn't bring the kids for whatever reason. So I brought the kids over to mom and dad's. And in that little bit of time from dropping her off and coming back, oh, my goodness. I saw so many chickens with their heads cut off, women running around doing all this craziness. And I walked in there and they're poking and prodding and putting beepers and everything medical. You ever seen that, whatever, the TV show or something like that. It was like everything you could ever think of, all the him hauling. That's what was going on. I'm going to be honest with you, Sister Violet. I went in there, sat in that chair, and I was just getting mad. I'll tell you why. I was just getting mad because all I felt was unbelief. Yeah.
That's right.
All I felt was stress and doubt and you wouldn't get out of my way. Yeah. Look, and I trust her. Don't overcome, brother, sister. Find real strength. They're doing their best. Look, and I have plenty of my doubts in the medical field. Don't get me wrong. There's probably plenty of doctors that got paid off to give you medicine. I understand that. But I believe they're trying to help people. I do. And I believe God will use them if you pray about it. Amen. Amen. So don't think I'm against medicine. I'm not, all right? Not against doctors or anything. But I am against a crook. Anyways, after a little bit, they finally kind of, gave up or whatever. They just did all this stuff. And they were going to send her up to Toledo because they didn't have nothing to have any preterm baby. So after that little bit, and they all went away. You remember this, Ellie? Went over to Ellie. I said, now look, I know they're all trying their best, but you ain't having this baby right now. I said, look, we're going to agree. We're going to tell this body you're not having this baby yet. Amen. Now, I didn't just say that of my own accord. The Lord came. And we had the simplest prayer you'd ever say. I don't even remember what it was because it was so generic of, Lord, you said this, it's going to be okay. Everything's fine. From that moment on, and I remember the little thing, it just went boop, just normal movement, just normal. The whole contractions stopped from that moment on. Yep. Of course, they still got to send you up, so we went up to Toledo, and again, this is why I have some of my doubts, is I would ask every person that come in, what do you think? And I'm telling you, 10 out of 10 were different observations. Brother, you better have faith in God, because how are you going to put that together when every nurse and every doctor is telling you something else? That's why I didn't listen to those nurses and doctors. I listened to my doctor. Amen. That told my wife she ain't going to have this baby yet. Yep. And that's what I'm going to believe. And sure enough, they gave us that pyramid of doctors. I don't know if you ever been in Toledo. Is that where we were? Yeah. And I'm just preaching tonight. We'll just see what happens. I don't know. Well, maybe I'll get to my text. But I think you're getting what I'm talking about what real strength looks like. Yep. It's not going in there and muscling it out. Saying, Lord, you're the one that's going to have to do this. But I trust you enough that I'm not going to listen to the doubts. And they brought me the pyramid of doctors here, and I've been listening to these ones and these fellas. And finally, give me one of these guys up here. And it was Wednesday morning. So I've been there Sunday night, Monday, and Tuesday. Wednesday morning, we finally heard. And they had been telling us, you're gonna be stuck in the NICU unit for 2 months, this baby, blah, blah, blah. I didn't believe a word of any of that. Because God, we told that, but it ain't going to have no baby yet. And that doctor finally came in there. He looked at a few things, says, you're good to go. We'll get you out of here this afternoon. I didn't even have to miss church, brother, sister. Because I got there on Sunday night, and we got back before Wednesday night service. Amen. Now, Sister Ellie did stay home, okay? But Brother Stephen preached. I actually remember that now. But anyhow, why am I bringing that up? Because, look, just because things are going wrong doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean you're weak. You choose to be weak in faith when you let those things dictate what you believe. Now, we had to hold on to that. And I love how the Lord knew it had to work that way. Because my wife, I'm just going to tell this story, I guess. The first, my son Dawson was born C-section. My wife hated it. She hated the recovery, didn't want that at all. She wanted, well, Defiance don't do, what's that called again? VBAC, right. Or you have vaginal after C-section. But anyhow, when Wesley was coming along, she didn't want to have another C-section because the recovery took weeks. She hated it. The Lord worked this out perfectly. Because the doctor came to the meeting and says, now look, we normally don't do VBACs, but I'm going to say it like this. If you come in and you're already 7 centimeters and things, and you're already going into labor, we'll just go ahead and let you have it because that's just silly. We scheduled a C-section. The morning of the C-section, she started having contractions. When we walked into the doctor's office for the C-section, they said, let's measure one more time, 7 centimeters. And she didn't have to have a C-section for Wesley. Why? Because 2 months before that, we agreed in faith and the Lord came, says, you ain't having this baby early. Now, ever since then, he's been, you know, helping us build character and things. So we appreciate Brother Wesley coming. Now, I do. I love all my children. I will say it's one of the greatest things. You'll never understand what it means to love in that way. You'll never understand what real responsibility is to have children. It's just, there's just something about it. It's just, it'll make a man out of you if there's any man in you to be there. Amen. Amen. And I do appreciate my kids. I love every one of them. Why do you say that? What was real strength? Believing what God says. Amen. Not what my eyes see. Not what my ears are hearing. Not what my body feels. Can I bring it spiritually? Not what my failures tell me I am. Yes. Christian friend, you're going to fail. Sometimes you're going to fail so bad, you're going to look at yourself and go, what was that? Why? Why does God let us fail? So we'll stop trusting in ourselves. So we'll stop trying to fix something with what won't fix it. Your self-will won't fix this. But if you can get God on the inside, He will fix you. I'm telling you right now, I've watched Him defeat cigarettes. I've watched him defeat lust and anger and jealousy and bitterness that has laid there for decades. I've seen the Spirit of God come into one service and touch a heart and eradicate it instantly. Amen. Don't limit the God we serve. Amen. If He can kill a giant, He can kill giants in our lives. Amen. Amen. Now, how does He do it? We just read Hebrews 11. We might as well go on to 12. You got your Bibles? I'm just letting my tablet turn off. That's okay. Hebrews 12. Look at it now. Quit looking at me. No, that's all right if you have your Bibles now. But listen. Hebrews 12. Wherefore? Now, remember, he just laid out all those heroes of faith. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's he getting at? There's others that's done this too. That means you can do it as well. Amen. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto who? Jesus. Christian friend, you've got to set your eyes on Jesus and follow Him. And look what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You don't get your own faith in the Lord. Do you understand that? The fact that you even can believe is the gift of God. I have seen people look at a miracle in this church like just glaze over. People couldn't get up and just walk right across. You're like, ain't nothing wrong. And they just stare at it. When you realize that there's something in you that believes that and know that it was God Almighty just came on the scene, you ought to rejoice more for that than the healing itself. That you can believe. He, that means the Lord's in your life. He's the author of your faith. Well, now that he's been the author and brought you into this faith, you got to believe the next part. He's also the finisher. You're not going to put yourself in the rapture. He is. You're not going to overcome all these things. He is doing it through you. He is the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten. Let me say this. Christian victory isn't glamorous like the world's is. Some of the most glorious things you will ever do as a Christian is when you failed the worst you ever have and you got no qualms, no excuses. You walk right to that person. I am sorry for what I did. I repent before you and before God. Can we make it right and go on? That takes a real man. That takes real strength. Why are you bringing that up, brother? Because that's what the rest of this chapter is. I'm looking under Jesus. He's often finished my faith. I'm going to be so strong in the Lord and then realize, oh, wait, things are bad are going to happen. I'm going to make mistakes along this road. Yes, you are. And it's part of the plan. Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You know what that means? Whoever God loves, he gives you a whipping. He chastens you. And scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards. What is a bastard? A son that has no father. And not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. I'm just going to stop there tonight. We're trying to find real strength, and I believe we are at the end times, brother, sister. The church as a whole is the weakest spiritually it's ever been. Ever. You go in history at all. You can go 50 years ago, 100 years ago. You will find Christians that could endure so much more than what so many so-called believers do today. When you think of the amount of persecution we actually go through, we should be doing okay. When you think of the lack of food and cost, and you go, anybody ever read the Dark Ages at all? When the real believers were meeting in the ground because it was illegal. And brother, I'm telling you right now, around the world, this still goes on. And yet we're all here, no problem. We can come to the house of the Lord. We can worship God. And yet it's so hard to raise our hands. It's so hard for us to confess our sins. Come on now. I think sometimes we don't get in with God because we're just flat out lazy. Well, I'd pray tonight, but I'd rather just, you know, look at the wall. You know what I love is when you finally realize what prayer is. It ain't a push-up spiritual thing. Okay, it ain't the way it is. Prayer is I get to talk to God. Amen. And he promised if I'd go to him with all my heart, he'll come down here and talk to me. Yes. Now, if you'll actually believe that, he will talk to you. Yes. Don't tell him how to talk to you either. Just let him talk. My kids don't come to me and tell me how I'm going to talk to them. I talk to them the way I feel I'm supposed to because I'm their father. They listen to me. God can come to you. And you know what sometimes he's going to tell you? You already know what you're doing. Quit it. Anybody ever had that conversation with God? Oh, God, give me revelation. And he just looks at you like, you already know, buddy.
That's right.
And until you take care of that, why would I tell you the next thing? Right. Yeah. What point would it be to put a roof on this and we didn't have no foundation yet? Yep. It's the same thing in your experience. When you speak to God, he said, I want to find strength even tonight. We all said that, didn't we? How many wants to find more strength in the Lord? Yeah. What did Paul say? He says, when I am weak, then am I strong. Don't look at your next trial and say, oh, I'm going to overcome this. Back up for a second and says, he that is greater than me has already done this. And when you look at your trial as something that's already overcome, it'll change everything. It'll change everything, brother, sister. Why are you bringing this? Because it's the last days. And as much as the churches are failing, the pastors are failing, the prophets are failing, the believers are failing, so-called, you have to step back and say, none of that matters to me. Because if I'm the only believer left, so be it. Amen. I'm not going to doubt God.
No way.
If no preacher will preach divine healing, I'll still believe it anyways. If nobody's looking for a rapture, I'll still be looking for it anyways. This might sound pretty bad, but I've said this before. My heart is for the people of God. I would love if God came down and said, look, you and me in a room together and said, hey, only one of you is making heaven. I would love for you to just reach over to me and say, well, sorry, Brother Andrew, you're going to miss it because I believe God. I'm going. See, when you have that thought, and I've had people do this to me. You're a pastor, brother. You do this. You serve God. You know, if it was between you and me, I mean, you're going to go before I am. Where's your faith?
Absolutely.
That shows you don't have the real thing. Because when you have the real thing, there is no comparing it. We don't commend ourselves to ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. When God has come into your heart, now don't make that up. Make sure it happens. And I'm bringing this to a close. I am. Make sure this really happens. Don't try to pretend to be a Christian. God did not call us to be glorified hypocrites. You know what I mean by that, right? Wanting to do wrong all the time, but, you know, I'm a better person than that. I'm not going to do that. God wants you to not be a hypocrite. He wants you to let Him in and let Him make you those things you want to be. That's why you get born again. That's why the Holy Ghost comes into your life and gives you power, not from intellect, but power from on high. You know what the Holy Ghost is, right? It's God's Spirit in you. God's Spirit. Yeah, the one that went across this whole world and made it what it is. The thing that spoke out to the stars and put them all where they are. That same God gets into you. You don't think you can overcome a little bit of greed? A little bit of pride? A little bit of sickness? A little bit of doubt? A little bit of frustration? You don't think God can overcome that? Of course He can, and He has. And He will in the real bride of Christ. Stop deteriorating your strength to the failures of this age. You are not part of this age. You're being taken out of it.
Amen.
That's what the rapture's all about. How many knows that? That God is, man, that the Word is in the bride of Christ, the same as the Word was in Christ. And all God is doing is calling that Word back to Himself. The rapture of the church is God is going to take the real believers out of this world before He sends judgment down. And I'm going to tell you right now, the world will know nothing happened. Churches will not know it happened. It will not make the news. And Brother Branham said it this way, because, you know, if it was 500 million Christians in the world and one out of a million made it, that's 500 people. There's 500 people go missing every day, and nobody knows what happened. They might think a little bit here and there and there, but, you know, eventually, you all know how it is, we'll just make up a story. If I don't show up to school tomorrow, they'll just make, well, something happened. I guess he got in a car wreck or something and whatever, and just go on with life, back to flicking on the phone and playing games and just entertain ourselves. Brother, I pray you understand this more than anything tonight, that the thing you're going to have to overcome, if you're anything like I've had to deal with, is just flat-out entertainment. I don't preach to Africans that don't have any food and things, okay? And I don't mean that derogatory. I just mean honestly. The Chinese, I know there's plenty of places they can't have Christianity at all. With Brother Sampson there in India, the Hindus have taken over the government, and it's pretty much illegal now to be a Christian. Okay, we ain't dealing with none of that.
Nope.
But I'm going to tell you, the devil that's going to come after you is just entertainment.
Yep.
If it isn't entertaining, then it ain't got no value. Brother, sister, that's why nobody's doing nothing anymore. We just sit there and entertain ourselves, one thing after the next, everything. And sometimes we even do that with church. Sometimes people only come here to be entertained.
Yep.
God didn't come here to be entertained. He came for you to receive from Him.
Amen.
He came for you to hear from Him.
Amen.
He came for you to be changed.
Amen.
And the Bible even says that. I know I have it in my notes somewhere. That's why I'm just going with it. Because actually, you'd be surprised how many different scriptures and quotes I've been referring to just in this little bit here. But He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as the Spirit of the Lord comes, it brings us free. And as we look at it, the Bible says we are changed into the same image.
Amen.
From glory to glory to glory. Brother, I do believe. I'll say it like this. I don't believe in like maybe a measuring stick or some of your experience. But I will say, as a Christian, you should not look back and see a better Christian than what you are right now. You know what that means? You backslid.
Yep.
That's all there is to it. Because back there was better than now, then you slid off somewhere.
Yep.
You press towards the mark. You get closer to God. You learn to hear quicker. You learn that God don't got to sound a foghorn in your ear to get your attention. Anybody had a foghorn happen in your life? I have. I fell off a bridge one time. Wake up! I've had other hardships and things happen in my life. I've had close calls and scares and different, and I mean naturally, spiritually, financially, things happen like that where God has just got to foghorn it at you because you're missing something. That's not what He wants, okay? But He will do it if you make Him. What does He want? He wants to be a nurturing father. He just wants to say, hey, son, don't put that fork in the outlet again, all right? It's not a good idea. And for you to just say, yes, Father, you're right. Don't try to overcome that again. Let me just step in it. You're right, Father. That's right. Don't sit there and beat yourself over the head and say, why was I tempted? Why did I even think this? Why did I even feel? Say, Lord, you knew I was going to do that. And you know my heart, that I don't want that anymore.
Amen.
But my self-loathing and self-guilt isn't going to deliver me. But my faith in you will. I want to find some real strength tonight. You want to know the real way to find real strength? Is to know how weak you are without God. And just accept it. Don't fight it. Don't be frustrated with it. Say, Lord, the Bible, and this is Psalms 103. You can read that later as well. But the Bible says that God knows our frame. That we are nothing but dust. That we just left our own devices. We're pathetic. I want you to find another species that can get as pathetic as a human. You know what's cool about other species? You can study them. And guess what? A cheetah will do this and this and this and this. How come you can't study humans and them all do the same thing? Because a human fell from where he was. He used to be in the very image of God, but sin came in and he fell and he's worse than even an animal. To where you can't even fit. You say, well, this is, you know, a father obviously would do this. A mother would obviously do this. Or so. No, you know, it can be different every single time. Because the devil gets all in that, but it doesn't happen in the animal kingdom like that. Because man is weak. Once sin came into man, I just love the idea of realizing, you know how you take photographs? This is my last thing I'm going to preach on. When you take a picture, the old days, I guess now I'm old, ain't I? Y'all laughing at me now. Remember we used to have to get the negatives? I'm holding on, Brother John, I'm trying. 37 now, but I remember the negatives. And the negative, it'll tell you a lot about that picture. That's right, but it doesn't tell you the whole thing.
Nope.
And then you go get it developed, and you see, oh, there's the colors, there's the shapes, there's the different things I didn't see. You know, the body you live in is just a negative of who you really are.
Yeah,
and you think about how we're still fearfully and wonderfully made. We still have all these parts that just function together and all these things. And what the Lord has put in us is good for His glory. It's just a reflection of what it is in the positive.
Yeah.
Whew. And what are you doing when you type into the Lord? You're pulling from that real you away from heaven's not really off in the clouds. How many knows that? It's right here, just in a different dimension. That's why the Bible says we are gathered together in heavenly places. That if you can come together in faith, you can be in that place even tonight. Where do you think healing comes from? Where do you think it comes from? Where do you think deliverance comes from? It's being in the presence of the Lord and letting His hand come into our lives. I'm looking for real strength tonight. I'm ready to I'm tired of frustrating myself. Maybe this is a little bit of Brother Andrew. I'm tired of trying to make myself strong. Anybody know what I'm trying to say by that? Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be good. I'm just tired of doing that rigmarole and getting nowhere. But tonight, Lord, let me find real strength. Let me just run to the rock that's higher than I. Let me run to the Lord, my strength. And may He make me strong tonight. Let's stand together. I know I'll put my name on that service, but that was free. The Lord gave that one tonight. Let's not be in a little bit of hurry. Let's worship the Lord, accept what He has for us. Give me the key of G, Dad. Do you know how to play it?
His strength is perfect when all strength is gone. Carry us when strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. When all strength is gone, He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power,
sing with all your heart.
His strength,
believe what you're saying.
Perfect when our strength is gone.
Sing it to the Lord now. Forget about everyone else.
He'll carry us when we can't carry on.
Together just a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you do have a need of special prayer and you just want to come forward, do that right now during this time. We'll be happy to pray with you. Just for a few moments. Just really get in that secret place. Get shut in with God for a moment. Don't worry about anyone else. Say, Lord, here am I. I'm here to be shut in with you, and I want to know what I want the real diagnostic, Lord. How weak am I in the Lord? Not how strong am I in this world? Not how much riches I have, not how many muscles I've got, no, not my mental fortitude. I'm not here for any of that right now, because I know in the kingdom of God that don't count for nothing. But how much real faith do I have when things don't go right, Lord? How much faith do I have in my healing? When the doctors tell me that it ain't getting better yet. How much faith do I have in my salvation? That when stacked against anyone else, I'd still say, I still got to go in. Because I was saved by God. And I still believe it today. In that hidden place, again, just you and the Lord now. No eyes looking around. Don't be concerned with that for just a few moments, and we'll be going. You say, Lord, in this little place, I don't know if I'm saved or not. But Lord, I know I can't even save myself. I need you. Why don't you ask him? And I said, Lord, come on in. Come into this heart, take it, save me from sin. Wash me clean by the precious blood of Christ. I'm so sorry for what I've done against you. I don't want none of my sins to go after me. I want them all taken care of right now. Forgive me and save me, Lord. He said, I've been saved, Brother Andrew. Praise the Lord. I believe in that. I believe in knowing you're saved. I really do. But I pray you're not walking around weak and out of energy. Got no spiritual fortitude anymore. Every little wind of doctrine, every little wind of trial blows you right over. You're all back in a tizzy all over again. In that little place, can you say, Lord, you're still the God of my strength. And in this little hidden place right now, by faith, I'm asking for strength, the real strength. That I'll have faith when doubt tries to arise. That when sin and temptation and failure and frustration and heartache and pain tries to attack me to get me to doubt God's promise. Lord, give me real strength tonight to resist all that, to look away and to look to Jesus, to look to you, Lord, and find the strength I need in the time of adversity. Father, I pray for the children of God here tonight. I pray there's any that haven't been baptized with the Holy Ghost, that you'll pour your Spirit down into their heart, and just that reality that cannot be even explained, with that power that'll change a soul from a sinner to a saint. How each one of us need that, Lord. And I pray those that have been born again, that they be just full of the Holy Ghost tonight, full of power, full of faith, full of love. Father, help us, we pray. We know we've fallen short. We know we've doubted you. We know we've done things that weren't pleasing. But we know we can't fix any of that. We come to you in perfect faith. Help us tonight, Father, in your supernatural way. Make us strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. I pray the Christians in this room, Lord, right now, just spiritually, seeing the armor getting plated on us. Get ready to go to battle as we leave this place. That helmet of salvation to keep our minds where they're supposed to be. Breastplate of faith. Sorry, Lord, righteousness to keep the devil off of us. That shield of faith that when he tries to shoot us, we'll have something to block it. It says, no, I believe God. You can't make me doubt. And I pray our other hand wouldn't sit there dormant. But we take the sword of your Spirit, the Word of God. We begin to quote it, Lord. We begin to say it instead of what our eyes see. We say what God said. No, my sickness isn't here. He's the Lord that heals me. No, my sickness or my sin will not run my life. He's the God that took my sin as far away from me as the east is from the west. And Satan, you can have it back. Because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, I've done what you've told me to do. And I believe you're here to do anything that you want. All things are possible to them that believe. And I know nobody's come up, but maybe we can receive it right where we are. I pray everyone that had a need of healing tonight, no more complicated than this, can say, I look up to Jesus, the Lord that heals me, and I accept that I'm healed. That's you, Christian friend. I pray you just put your faith right there. And let everything, every doubt, every thought that would tell you contrary to say, no, I'm not going to believe that. If you accepted promises tonight, I know it's been a simple message, brother, sister, but I believe it's a very timely one to give us that real strength Father, as we get ready to go tonight, I pray in that name above all names, that name of Jesus Christ, that we'd be more equipped now than we've ever been to defeat the devil, to defeat sin, to bring glory to your great name. May these Christians bring great victories just like David did, just like Samson did. May when we come on that other side on resurrection morning, may there be stories written about the believers here in this building and the victories that they wrought for the kingdom of God too. Grant it, Father, we pray. I commit all of it to your faithful hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. Before we go, let's sing this together. Give me the key F, Dad. It's not by much. That don't sound right, does it? Go to G for me.
It's not.
That don't sound right either, does it? Give me C. It's not by might, it's nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by might, it's nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain, oh, this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by might, it's nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. Aren't you glad you believe that tonight? Come on now, sing it. Oh, this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, say. One more time, come on with all your heart. It's not by mind, it's not by mind, nor by power, nor by power. Oh, but by my Spirit, say the Lord of hosts. It's not by mind, nor by power, but by my Spirit. This mountain shall be moved. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As you go just tonight, God bless you. Again, it's good to have you all here. You're always welcome back, guys. God bless you all so much.
Back down. Back down. There we go. The move is on as we go.
The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. I can hear the rustle in the mulberry trees, and I know, I know, I know, the move is on.
You got to move.
You've got to move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is the moving day. Just move a little closer to where the streams are flowing.